Hey everyone, welcome to God's Plan, Your Part, Year 2, where this year we're reading through and studying the entire New Testament, one chapter at a time. Thanks again for joining us in discovering God's plan and your part in it.
Today we are looking at John chapter 12. There are probably the most notable things in John chapter 12 are the anointings that happen with Jesus. There's a little bit of controversy with that. There is more. I gave it away yesterday. There's this plot to kill Lazarus. Jenny has some very strong opinions about this chapter. Tell us how you feel about this chapter, Jenny.
I don't know that I have strong opinions. I just think that this one is more jumpy than others have been. So we're talking really pointed stories, and then it just kind of seems like there's semi-unrelated things going on, and then, I don't know, it doesn't flow as nicely, I would say, as some of the other chapters has. This is like where John got a little lazy, I guess, when he was writing.
he got lazy.
Oh yeah, that too, like side notes.
Lazy John.
So we get to like the beginning of the chapter where Jesus is actually coming to where Lazarus and Mary and Martha live. And they like have a meal together, which is interesting. Like, I don't know, after this crazy event would happen, I think it's kind of cool that they're like all together. I would assume probably just to be like, hey, wasn't that crazy? Like, I don't know. I can imagine the conversations being like pretty nuts.
It's wild because like John just casually mentions that Lazarus is reclining at the table, but like, yeah. this guy was dead a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm. And then Mary, what's so crazy about her is that she is, again, anointing the feet of Jesus. We've heard of this before. There was a woman before who anointed Jesus' feet with her tears and then wiped them with her hair. Mary is doing something similar, except that she is, instead of using her tears, this very expensive ointment that she is, or I guess it's an ointment made from nard, and she's putting it all over Jesus' feet and wipes it with her hair as well. So it's just like this very humble act of worship. I'm assuming like Mary is ready to just like give the most expensive things and humble herself in such a way to just thank Jesus for what he has done for her actual family. Like her brother is actually enjoying this meal with them because of what he's done for them.
Okay, there is significant controversy with this story. You can see these anointing stories in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and here today in John chapter 12. They all occur in Bethany. They all seem to occur kind of in this final, like give or take, week or two heading up to Jesus' crucifixion. But in the Mark passage, Mark 14 and in Matthew 26, they occur in the house of
Simon the leper,
not Lazarus.
Correct.
And they don't all name that it's the same person. They don't all name exactly what's happening. They do all call out like the
it is interesting,
like
though,
the wasted money. Like there's a section of each story about the wasted money, but the details are very different. And like, it's a similar story, but the details are pretty radically different.
But listen to what it says, though. Like, at least location-wise, something sticks out to me in John chapter 12. It says, Jesus therefore came to Bethany. Okay, mm-hmm. We're same city.
Same city, yep.
Where Lazarus was. Doesn't say his house. And I think I actually probably, like, said that incorrectly earlier when I was kind of setting the stage for this episode. Whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there.
So it might not have been explicitly like in that house, I suppose.
It's just, I think it's interesting. Like it just says where he was and his sisters apparently were there with him. No surprise. Martha is like helping to prepare and Mary is worshiping at Jesus' feet. So like, I think it's important to call those things out, but I don't know that Luke like explicitly states that it was at their house like I had assumed.
Mm-hmm. The process is a little different. Like one calls out that it's on his head. One calls out that it's on his feet. All the stories talk about the money issue. So people deal with this different ways. Always you're going to have people that are like, well, these details don't line up perfectly. This is all a lie. That's a pretty foolish way to handle this, especially when so much of everything that's recorded actually does line up, like throughout the Gospels. It's pretty disingenuous to just be like, well, it's all a lie. Throw it all out. What's possible is that Jesus was anointed multiple times. That wouldn't have been super odd. People were trying to worship him. People were constantly coming to him out of devotion. It would not have been strange for him to be anointed more than once. What's also possible is like one of those deals where one author is calling out specific details while another author is calling out different details. You can imagine somebody coming to anoint Jesus and anointing his head and then also anointing his feet. So it could appear like it's two different stories, but actually it's just different details from the same story. The main details are still the same. And I don't think that there's any wrong details. I don't think there's any hidden details. And I just want to give you guys clarity on what's going on here so that you realize that if you do hear about these different anointing stories, it's pretty foolish to just throw them out because the details are off. What does matter is that somebody comes to Jesus and out of worship and devotion anoints him with a oil or nard or whatever that is very expensive. This is an extravagant act of worship. Judas is very greedy and he's very upset about it. And the point of it is like, hey, this worship is important. It's allowed. This is not an excuse not to care for poor people. It's not an excuse to be irresponsible with money. It's really a story about devotion and worship of Jesus. So the main thing I want you to recognize is, one, I do want you to know that these stories don't line up completely together, but two, I want you to understand that that doesn't mean that we can't trust them, we can't believe that they happened. It very easily means that like different guys recorded different details, and that actually gives us a fuller, more holistic picture of the whole thing. It doesn't take away from the legitimacy of the whole thing.
So as we continue on throughout the chapter, like I mentioned at the beginning, there is a little bit of choppiness, but before that happens, there is like a little bit of like a, I guess like a sequel to what yesterday's chapter was about. And Ryan kind of alluded to this earlier. There is an actual plot to kill Lazarus as well, which is what you were referring to yesterday. Like, because they're so frustrated with the fact that Jesus did this thing, he is a constant reminder to them that Jesus does have powers from God to do incredible things.
I would say this is a constant reminder of the evils of the Pharisees and the religious leaders, because they don't want to kill Lazarus for anything that he did. They just hate the fact that every time people see Lazarus, who's not dead anymore, like they believe in Jesus, which like, hello, of course they will, because they knew Lazarus and they knew when he was dead. They probably went to his funeral, and then Jesus brings him back from the dead. He's an incredible testament to the power of Jesus. And I talked about this yesterday. Like, we get the same opportunity. We were once dead. We are now alive. We are an incredible testament to the power of Jesus in our lives. We should strive to honor Jesus with the way we live our lives.
And if you think about the Pharisees, this is getting a little off track. But I was thinking about like similar situations today in my own mind of like how oftentimes, especially like spiritual leaders, whether it was in the past or, you know, recent past or even present, spiritual leaders can sometimes enjoy like the place of being like the godly person. And kind of like take God's glory from situations and put it on themselves. Like, well, thank goodness I'm here so that you know about God. Like, I wonder how much of a threat the Pharisees and teachers of the law felt when Jesus, who was God, was like almost like taking the attention from them, because they were like the most like holy figures outside of God himself. So when Jesus is here as God, that must have been like extremely intimidating to them, because it's like, well, that guy's taking the glory from us. Just like Lazarus' situation, God's glory is being given to him and is taken away from like the Pharisees' authority and prominence among all of the people.
I do like how John shows us that not all of the Pharisees were this way. And I think it's important to recognize that a lot of them, or some of them, came to follow Jesus. We know that's the case with Nicodemus, because Nicodemus is defending him, and then Nicodemus shows up to help bury him. Nicodemus seems to have come to a place where he believes in Jesus. Constantly, John is highlighting that people are coming to believe in Jesus, but also there are religious leaders who are selfish, who are there for their own gain, for their own fame, for their own influence. And you can imagine Jesus and the message that he's preaching is incredibly threatening to them. One, because he's exposing their hypocrisy. And two, if what Jesus is saying is true, their entire system that they've built and maintained is not necessary. It's actually like a millstone. Like, it's just excess weight that we don't need anymore. So they, to protect themselves and to protect their system, they're willing to kill Jesus. And now we know for sure they're willing to kill Lazarus as well. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. Like, I guess the pride piece is just what's like so overwhelming. And I just, I don't know, that really stood out, especially with the part where it's like, oh my goodness, this guy was just dead and he was brought back to life. And now you just want to kill him again because it hurts your pride too much. Like, ooh. And I know, like you were saying, there's more than just these individuals that are out for blood. But specifically the ones that are out for blood, how that pride and that self-seeking nature can just be so destructive and so terrible, not only for them, but like the people that they influence.
There's another interesting point that's highlighted here in verse 43. And I'll pick it up in 42. It says, nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. So kind of that point we were just talking about. People did come to believe in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. Listen to this. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Oh my goodness, it's so easy to fall into this. It's so easy to fall into this. And if you do, you're missing out on the life that God has planned for you. We cannot be concerned about the glory that comes from men. We cannot be concerned about the fame, the influence, the attention that comes from men. We must be concerned about everything that comes from God. And when we live solely to honor God, we live the best life that's already been laid out for us.
That's really crazy. I think that verse is like, you actually read it and it is only sinking in now, like how significant that was for them, but also how significant it is for us now. Like the things that we are afraid to say because of the power or the influence or whatever it is that we have in our lives that we hold so dear, how that will be like diminished over what actually matters, which is God's opinion on things.
Tie it together with the anointing story that picks up at the top of this chapter. This woman is lifted up, like kind of like highlighted or honored because of her devotion to Jesus. Imagine what might have been going through her head. Like, I don't know. Is this too much? Is this too extravagant? Like, should I really do this? But she doesn't have fear of man at all. It's very evident from what she does. She only has fear of God. And so she's driven to extreme worship of Jesus. I think all of us are called to extreme commitment, obedience, and worship of Jesus.
So before we close out this episode, and I'm going to throw it back to you, Ryan, to add in the your part, because I think we've kind of hit on the your part. This chapter, like we said, is very, it's kind of choppy. It doesn't really have like a nice flow to it. However, there are like little nuggets here and there, some stories that we've heard already, and some, I would say, some significant pieces at the end of the chapter, specifically calling out things about judgment. But I would just say definitely take a listen to the entire chapter. But I think we've kind of hit the gold mine on what your part could be for today's episode.
Don't halfway serve Jesus. Don't like be all in. Like, you want to serve God. You want to be completely holy, obedient to God. We want to live lives like this woman who is anointing Jesus. She's not afraid of the crowd. She's not afraid of what people might think of her. She is completely committed. And it actually cost her a lot of money, like actual money. It cost her a lot of influence, because you imagine, like, doing this in front of a crowd is probably embarrassing and a little bit of a risk, but she is honored for her devotion. We know that Jesus honors us when we honor him, when we stay devoted to him. So don't be a sellout. Don't compromise. Be holy and completely committed to Jesus. That is the life that he has called us to. We'll be back again tomorrow looking at John chapter 13. We'll see you then.
Thanks for joining today's episode of God's Plan, Your Part. As always, please consider partnering with us, as we are a listener-supported podcast that we hope to continue to grow with support from listeners just like you.
We've made it super easy to partner with us, and you can support us by following the link in our show notes or our description. You can support us with as little as $3 a month.
Every little bit of this helps so much, and we're so thankful for your support. With that in mind, here's today's reading.
John chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was about to betray him, said, "Why has this ointment not been sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have with you, but you do not always have me." When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered him, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come, to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, for again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even the authorities, believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that came from man more than the glory that comes from God. And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The words I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of God's Plan, Your Part. Don't forget, you can find us on just about every social media platform and YouTube. Let us know what you thought of today's episode, and if you have any questions, go ahead and post them there. You can also reach out to us directly at godsplanyourpart@gmail.com. As always, if you don't have a Bible, or if you'd like to use the one that we use, reach out to us via email and we'll be happy to send one to you. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow.